You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello and welcome to The Awardist. I am Entertainment Weekly Executive Editor Jared Hall. We are kicking off a brand new season of the podcast today where we're going to be having thoughtful but also fun and entertaining chats with the actors, creators, and more who are contenders this year. And let me tell you, there are some fantastic ones to come. And we're also going to be breaking down the state of the 2023 Oscars race with guests like EW's own awards expert Joey Nolfi, as well as the two folks I am going to introduce to you right now. Let's get to it. Joining me on this first episode of the new season is a voice you will definitely be familiar with if you listened to the Awardist podcast last Oscar season. It's my fellow executive editor at Entertainment Weekly, Clarissa Cruz. Hey, Clarissa, how are you?
Hey, Jared. Hello, hello.
Happy to have you here. And longtime Entertainment Weekly enthusiast will know him for his fantastic reporting through the years and who we are thrilled to be welcoming back to the family as an awards correspondent and columnist. It's Dave Karger. Dave, welcome back.
Hey, Jared. Hey, Clarissa. I'm very happy to be talking with both of you.
I say thrilled. It's no joke. So happy to have you here. I don't want to date anyone or age anyone, but you're certainly someone who I read through the years. I'll say, like, especially during my college years, maybe that won't make us sound as advanced. In years, I was always like, this guy is so cool. And then years later, here we are. We met each other many years ago through covering movies, and we're talking Oscars now, and it's just a very exciting professional moment for me. So
I love it.
So glad you were with us.
Great.
Yeah. So I do want to say Dave is writing a column for us this season. The first one is already on EW.com. You can check that out. He'll be doing various cast interviews for us through the season. And perhaps most importantly, offering his predictions as the entire season goes on, because people will come and go in the race and those predictions will change. And we're going to get to some of those in just a minute. But first, I want to talk with both of you about... there's always one or two movies that try to go the distance. Movies that came out way earlier in the year, not in the traditional Oscars window, which starts like mid-September through the end of the year. So let's talk about what some of those are. I would definitely say Everything Everywhere All at Once is on that list. That's a movie that debuted, I do believe, in April. And then Top Gun Maverick was a early summer release, midsummer. I can't even remember now. The year has gone by so quickly. Are there any other movies that the two of you are identifying as, some of those ones that are trying to stick in the race?
How about Elvis?
Oh, yes.
I think that's a sure thing for, I think it's kind of like 80% sure for Austin Butler. I'm actually about to move him up to my top five. He was my number six in my first EW.com list, but he's about to move up. And I think, there are definitely 10 Best Picture nominees this year. Not going to be eight or nine because of the new rules. So that allows for another movie like one of these ones that you're talking about. Because I do think Everything Everywhere All at Once is in. I think Top Gun is on the bubble, and I think Elvis is on the bubble. So maybe all three of them can get in, or maybe two.
Elvis also feels like one of those movies that will get a lot of technical nominations, sound, costume design, hair and makeup, that kind of stuff too, in addition to Austin. Do you think Baz Luhrmann can go the distance with a director nomination though?
I don't think so.
Clarissa's shaking her head no.
No, I don't think anyone came out of that talking about Baz as much of a visual spectacle as it was. I think all the buzz was around Austin, and I do think he's going to make the acting bracket for him. But as far as the other movies that you mentioned, I think even though they came earlier in the year, Everything Everywhere All at Once and Top Gun Maverick, I think are going to be big contenders for Best Picture. I don't think people will need a reminder.
That is so very true. Are there any others we're forgetting about, leaving off the list yet, or just those three that are fighting? Well, maybe not even fighting for their spots, but
I think for Best Picture, it's really those three. I mean, there's a couple people in the acting categories. I know Adam Sandler is really out there for his Netflix movie Hustle. You know, so there are a couple movies from earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. Emma Thompson for Good Luck to You, Leo Graham. She's always great. But for Best Picture, I really do think it's those three.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, so let's talk about then, once the fall festival circuit kicks off in early September with Labor Day weekend, let's talk about the movies that really emerged from that time period. We're talking about Steven Spielberg and The Fabelmans. We're talking about, I'll let you guys weigh in on whether you think Armageddon Time is really part of the list. We're talking The Banshees of Inisherin. So take me through that. What are the ones that you saw at the festivals that are surefire? These movies are ones that people should be watching because they are going to be going for gold.
Well, I mean, I think you're right. I think The Fabelmans was the one that kind of emerged the biggest, right? Because it won the Audience Award at Toronto, which is such a big deal. Green Book won that award. Nomadland won that award. So that's a big deal. I think The Banshees of Inisherin, the more that people are seeing that movie, I just love that movie so much. I can't wait to see it again.
I love Martin McDonagh movies, period. I don't think he's made a bad one yet.
I agree. And he hasn't made that many, which is a shame.
That's true.
but it's so fun to see Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson together. Carrie Condon as Colin Farrell's sister is so great. So that one's in. And then I think for the kind of cineasts of the world, Tar was the one that really emerged. I loved it. I know people, not everyone does. I thought it was just riveting and so interesting. And I think those three seem to me to have emerged to kind of the top of the heap. And then with other ones like Glass Onion, the Knives Out sequel, and Women Talking, and Empire of Light also getting some big boosts as well. But I don't think any of them rise to the level of those other three.
I agree. I mean, Fabelmans, I think, was a strong early front runner, especially after the premiere at Toronto. I think Women Talking will have some legs, especially in the acting categories. I should have mentioned this earlier because it debuted at Cannes, but Triangle of Sadness is actually one of my favorite ones. And it wasn't obviously a fall festival, but I think it's one that could be a surprise in a few categories.
Yeah, for folks who have not seen that, can you give a brief synopsis of that?
It's hard to give a brief synopsis.
I know. That's what it's like. I hope she can do it better service than I can.
Yeah, it's sort of a three-parter, literally. It's divided into three parts. And, you know, one takes place, I also don't want to give away things, but there are definitely three parts and feel almost like three different movies, but it works. And I think that's what its big draw is.
People on the yacht trip. From
exactly.
Hell.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's definitely one of my favorites of the season. And I think it could be something that could sneakily get in a few places.
And then, of course, we can't forget about The Whale, it's funny. I'm going to use the word that I don't think he likes to use because he's like, I didn't go anywhere. But a comeback for Brendan Fraser, who is getting, you know, standing ovations left and right. It was a transformation for him as well. You've both seen the movie, correct? Feelings on, because here's what I feel like I'm getting from most people is that people love the performances more than the movie as a whole.
Yeah, for me, The Whale is the wild card of the season right now because it's just these festival audiences that have seen it so far. And in most of these cases, Brendan Fraser is right there. And now it's kind of turned into this game where each audience feels the need to outdo the other as far as giving him a 15-minute standing ovation, a 10-minute standing ovation. And I think like the Toronto audience saw the clip of the Venice audience doing it and felt like... And so the question for me is, how is this movie going to play first of all, moviegoers when they just go to a theater, but also more important for our conversation here, voters, when they put the DVD in or when they click the link and they watch it just in their house and there's no 10-minute standing ovation there. I don't know. The thing about The Whale, I mean, Brendan Fraser does a fine job. My vote would be Colin Farrell for Best Actor. I think it's a better performance. but Brendan Fraser's terrific. But the thing about The Whale is that you don't, there's a lot of unpleasantness on screen. And I'm curious to see how people react to that when they see it in larger numbers. Clarissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. And I think also, you know, speaking of reactions, you and I watched it both at Toronto, and there were people, you know, sobbing on either side of us, you know, having a really strong reaction to the movie. And I think that kind of emotional component, you can't discount that, especially with a film like this. And I think that combined with everyone seems to love Brendan and his whole narrative with this, and he's been doing the awards circuit, you know, in a very, I think, positive way. I don't think you can discount that as far as making this a contender. But I do agree with what you said about some of the unpleasantness.
And he seems to have a lot of fans within the industry, folks he has worked with, folks who perhaps he hasn't worked with but want to work with him. And that also really goes a long way because a lot of these people are Academy voters and they will, I suppose, like give an endorsement in their own kind of way. And that certainly helps a person's case.
Yeah, I mean, he's worked with everybody. I mean, especially in the 90s and the early 2000s. And he's a very likable guy. I chatted with him for EW at Toronto and with him and Darren Aronofsky. And it was a total pleasure. And that's going to be a good thing for him too. But again, not to sound like a broken record, watch out for Colin Farrell because he is also wildly charismatic and a great talker and super funny and also gives just such a delightful performance in The Banshees of Inisherin, which is, and it's also moving. I was just blown away by
him. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of goodwill towards him as well. And correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think he's been nominated.
No.
And so I think there's a sense of, you know, it's his time.
Mm-hmm. He did win a Golden Globe for In Bruges, but he's never had an Oscar nomination.
And oh God, I love that movie so much too. He's great in that. Someone who I'm also, by the way, realizing from my previous question, if there's any chance of a release from earlier in the year getting through. What about Nope? Are you saying Nope to Nope?
I just don't feel like the response to it reached the Get Out level.
Get Out, yeah.
Yeah. Also, horror is always a tough sell, isn't it?
It's true.
Yeah.
And I also, yeah, I'm not sure the kind of societal impact element of Nope kind of comes through to the average moviegoer, including myself. I'm putting myself in that category as much as it did through Get Out.
Yeah.
With Lupita for Us, like, I feel like that there was, the, I mean, I know, she, it, you know, I feel like that had sort of stronger sentiment behind it than any of the performances in it.
Yeah. Another movie that came out, I believe, right around the time of Toronto was The Woman King, Viola Davis, Tuso Mbedu. What are your feelings on that one?
I think in a weaker year for actresses, Viola, and I'm looking at my, you know, my column, I do have Viola Davis number 6 for best actress. And when I revise it for Clarissa, my editor in the coming week, I'm probably going to keep her there. But if you look at best actress where you have this stronghold of Cate Blanchett, Olivia Colman, Michelle Williams, Michelle Yeoh, and Danielle Deadwyler, who's the breakout star from this movie, Till, I just don't see how anyone else breaks through to that 5, including Viola. I loved The Woman King. I thought it was really strong. Tuso Mbedu is fabulous. I still think she has a shot. But again, best supporting actress is stacked between the women talking cast, between a lot of the breakouts from Banshees, Tar, Janelle Monáe from Glass Onion. People haven't seen that performance yet. It's a knockout. Mm-hmm. So I think Tuso, I would keep her in the conversation. She's in the top 10 for sure, but I just don't know if that movie's still going to be talked about as much as a lot of these other movies that are still just coming out and might steal some of the thunder.
Yeah. Janelle, by the way, was our row mate at the Black Panther 2 premiere. We looked over and was like, whoa, holy cow, there's
That's right.
Janelle Monáe sitting right there with us. I mean, there were a lot of amazing people sitting all around us. That movie, by the way, a lot of people have seen that now. It's not necessarily a festival movie, but what are your feelings about that film and its chances to replicate the success of the first one come Oscars?
I don't think so. I don't see Wakanda Forever as a Best Picture nominee. It's definitely going to get multiple nominations. Hannah Buechler will be nominated again for production design. Ruth Carter will be nominated again for costumes and maybe effects and maybe sound and things like that. I don't see any cast members getting nominated, and I don't see it getting nominated for Best Picture. Not that it's not good. It's very good. Mm-hmm. It manages to be fun and exciting, but it's also a very reverential tribute to Chadwick Boseman. It ticks all the boxes. It gets the job done, all the jobs done that it needed to. Didn't strike me as an Academy film.
What about Angela, Dave? Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett.
I mean, she's definitely, I think she was probably one of the stronger performances in the film.
Is she lead or supporting? I guess
she'd have
supporting.
To be supporting, right? Right. Letitia Wright's lead?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Sure. I mean, I would put her in my next list of when I do my next top 12, I could see her getting in there.
With the right campaign.
But I don't see her making the top five. I don't.
Okay. That's fair. Okay. So for these fall festival circuit releases, is there, and answer this as you wish, a film that you think got more hype than it should have?
I don't know if it's a one film thing, but just this is combined with my experience from last year. But I'm a little bit tired, and not to call out one particular film, but I'm a little bit tired of the sort of white male directors doing these sort of semi autobiographical films, you know, showing how they fell in love with film, and I feel like that can apply to a couple films this season and last season, you know, thinking like Belfast and Armageddon Time and Fablemans. And you know, I just kind of am hungering for a different perspective. And I don't know if that's, you know, that's not the fault of any of these films, but it's more just, you know, I'd love to see a female, you know, person of color doing a semi-autobiographical film where they talk about being in love with film. So that's just more of a thing on my end, not to take away from anything from those films.
Yeah. It's interesting. I do think there's a couple movies that I'm waiting to see what kind of the more populist reaction is. And I think The Whale, which I already said, explain why that's one of them. Also Empire of Light, Sam Mendes's film, which really divided people at the festival. Some people thought it was three different movies that didn't fit together. But I'm still relatively bullish on it for the Academy just because it's got this great Olivia Colman performance. It's kind of a nice return to form for Sam Mendes in a more of an intimate film after how amazing 1917 was. And it is kind of this love letter to the concept of going to the movies in a movie theater. So, but that's one that I think there are some people who feel like the buzz is overstated, that the movie isn't strong enough for the buzz. But I do still think it's going to do fairly well throughout the season. It might not win anything, but I could see it getting, you know, significant nominations.
Mm-hmm. And to your point earlier about, you know, the different festivals having to one up the previous festival and the standing ovations, I feel like, you know, we write about that. We reported, you know, it was a 7 minute, it was a 10 minutes. Like, I don't really know if you can take stock in any of that. People just like to stand and clap and, you know, I don't know if it really means anything in the long run. Okay, we're about to take a quick break. Before we do that, I want to ask your the movie that you think should be getting more attention for the 2023 Oscars race. Could be a festival one, could be from earlier in the year.
That's the easiest question for me that you've asked so far. I love My Policeman.
And
I do not understand why people are hating on this movie. It is absolutely gorgeous, and the cast is great, including, yes, Harry Styles does a terrific
job. We're going to talk more about him in just a minute.
Okay. Oh, we are. Okay, so I'll keep it to a minimum, except to say that the movie made me cry, and it has pained me to see the negative critical response, and I'm trying to parse out how much of it is because of Harry hatred and how much of it is because people just don't like the movie, but I love it. And that's one that I wish I could kind of like will back into the awards race, but it's not going to happen.
Okay. Clarissa.
Well, I mentioned Triangle of Sadness before, so I'm not going to mention that again, but there was one festival movie that you'll laugh, but I really loved Weird. the Al Yankovic story. And I thought it was so fun. I thought it was bonkers. I thought that those performances were completely fearless and fun. And if there's any chance that Weird Al can get a nomination for song, I would like to start the campaign right now.
And by the way, like, that script should get nominated. That, I mean, it won't, but what a brilliant take on the biopic where it just flips everything. I just watched it 3 days ago and I thought it was wildly entertaining.
Totally. So, All right.
Good choice.
There you have it. All right. We will leave it at that for the moment. We have to take a quick break. The awardist will be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to The Awardist. I am joined by Entertainment Weekly executive editor Clarissa Cruz and EW Awards contributor Dave Karger. Hello again to you both. And okay, two more topics I want to talk about here before we wrap things up. Dave, you touched on this first one a little bit with saying My Policeman you wish was getting more awards attention. But let's talk about Harry Styles, because before My Policeman came out, before Don't Worry, Darling came out, everyone was really excited for these films. They wanted to see more acting out of Harry, more than they had gotten from him in Dunkirk. You can't really count the Eternals, that end credit scene. But but then the movies came, the movies went. Harry was in the race. Harry was out of the race. Give me your thoughts on his talent as an actor and why you think he should still be part of the conversation.
Well, I mean, in Don't Worry, Darling, I thought he did a fine job. I think there were a couple scenes closer to the end in the last act that maybe he was the tiniest bit out of his depth, where he had to kind of, you know, get a little bigger. Fine. And that movie, whatever, is what it is. The whole controversy scandal took center stage over the movie, which is actually a well-directed movie, but no one seems to care. My Policeman, I've just said it before the break, it's so gorgeous. And I think he does a really lovely job in that film. And for someone who doesn't have much acting experience, I was very, very impressed with that performance. So that movie hasn't totally come and gone yet, Jared, because it hasn't even come out on Amazon yet. So let's give it a chance to die before we bury it. But I'm still hopeful that people will start. Here's my question. Is this film Twitter hating on these movies, or is it the larger movie-going audience and the Academy? And look, the fact of the matter is neither of these movies are going to get any Oscar nominations, and it's too bad. But I just want My Policeman to get a little bit of a backlash to the backlash sentiment once people see it. That would make me happy, just for people to say, you know what, people shouldn't have hated on this movie as much as they did.
And can I speak up for Don't Worry, Darling a little bit? Because I saw it a while ago, really early, and I enjoyed it. You know, I mean, this is before all of the, you know, Venice and all of the things that came out about it that sort of detracted from the actual film. And as you said, Dave, directing, but I quite enjoyed the movie. I thought Harry was great. I thought, you know, anyone who can hold a scene next to Florence Pugh is pretty good. I mean, even though Florence Pugh is in another stratosphere, but I thought he held his own. My Policeman was a bigger part, and I think he did well there too. So there's, you know, it just sucks that there's so much other stuff that goes into this race that doesn't have anything to do with the actual project.
Yeah. Are you seeing in either of his performances his talents as a musician and therefore someone who puts his emotions into song? Are you seeing that quality in him, that ability to capture and channel his emotions into performance that is not done, you know, with a microphone and sometimes guitar in hand?
You know what? For me, I think what I was so impressed by with the My Policeman performance is that it was so opposite to his stage persona, which is so outsized and big. And this is a very kind of intimate, inward, this is a very conflicted young man that he's playing. Mm-hmm. And he brings all of that across with, you know, a real vulnerability. And it was, it's all very internal. And I was just super impressed considering it's so different from his day job, as it were.
He does sing in it, though. Remember, he had that. He sang a few bars.
Yes.
So something to look forward to for the Harry Styles performer aspect. Okay, last thing here. Okay, Will Smith and the movie Emancipation. I guess my first question is: should Apple have held this movie until next year? Thoughts?
Yes, they should have. It seems now I have not seen this movie, so I can't speak to whether it's strong or not or the quality, but it seems, I mean, it's certainly subject matter and Antoine Fuqua and all that seems like it's a potential for an awards movie. I think it smacks of a little hubris on the part of everybody to think that this movie can come out right now. I think it's a bad decision. I have to say it. Mm-hmm.
Clarissa, does, as we all kind of talk internally at EW, it feels like that's even the sentiment as staff is talking. We're like, give it another year. Let the controversy die down a little bit. Make him a little bit of his 10-year sentence.
Exactly. I mean, it's interesting because as soon as the release date came out, you know, that's prime awards time. So that decision is certainly interesting, you know, especially for this year. So I think it's a tricky thing, and we'll have to see how that plays out.
And I'll say that I might eat these words like throughout the season, but I'm going to say it. I don't care how good Will Smith is. There's no way he's getting nominated for this movie.
That was my next question.
There's no way that the Actors Branch would nominate him this year. Now, you can keep that tape and you can play it back on January 24th or whatever when the nominations come out, and I will look like a complete idiot. But I think the Academy would ruin itself if they nominated Will Smith the same calendar year or the next year after he did what he did.
Yeah. Now, I don't think it's that outlandish of a thought at all. I guess, though, on the flip side of that is, can the movie still have some kind of Oscar success even with Will part of the equation?
I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, what happened this year's Oscars is so beyond the pale and so unlike any other. I mean, it puts the La La Land Moonlight thing. I mean, like, it makes it seem like this funny little mistake.
Yeah.
It would be shocking, and I think it would be damaging to the Academy to for it to give that movie substantial nominations in light of what has happened so recently.
Which is unfortunate because, you know, it's not just about Will. It's a big production. Right. There are so many people involved. You know, Antoine Fuqua is a great director. So the timing of
so you know what though, Clarissa, and I'm sure, and I agree with you. There's so much worthy as far as the subject matter of the film. So let it rest for a year.
Yeah. Mm.
Let it rest. Look at a movie like Sound of Metal. Sound of Metal premiered, I think it was 2019 or 2018 in Toronto. It didn't come out for like a year and a half later. Amazon could have put it out that year, but they didn't. They decided to wait. And then it wins Oscars and gets nominated, you know, for Best Picture. Let it sit. What's the rush?
Maybe it's not too late. Maybe they can reconsider and say, we're going to hold it. Unless there's, for some reason, something contractually that they have to put it out. Perhaps, of course, little details that we don't know. But that is all very interesting. And I don't think we're going to have to pull that tape back out, Dave. But it's an interesting prospect. He could have been, who was the last person to win 2 years in a row? Tom Hanks. Yeah, Philadelphia and then Forrest Gump. Yeah, potentially could have been another situation like that, but that little joke got in the way. Indeed. All right, folks, well, that is it for this episode of The Awardist. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please follow, rate the podcast, and leave us an award-winning review on Apple Podcasts. And to keep the conversation with us going, follow Entertainment Weekly on all socials at EW on Twitter and at Entertainment Weekly everywhere else. You can also tag me at Jared Hall. We will see you right back here next week. Thank you so much, Clarissa and Dave.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This episode of the Awardist podcast is hosted by Jared Hall, produced by Chanel Johnson and Sammy Junio, edited by Sammy Junio. Full episode transcripts are available at EW.com. Thanks for listening.